Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up?
Yo.
Got lost in the sauce.
What happened?
I don't know. I have no idea. I almost got lost in the sauce. Called. It just cut off on me. I thought, damn.
Listen. Don't ever get, if you get lost, get lost, but don't get lost in the sauce. The sauce is bad, man. Don't get lost in the sauce.
I don't. We're getting lost in the sauce.
Yo, what up, everybody? In Blog Talk Radio / Internet / Podcast Land. It is Big Red and Brother B back another Sunday with the menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up, y'all? What's up, Red?
What's up? Feeling miserable.
Doing,
feeling miserable. Daggone sinuses is kicking my behind.
Listen, you ain't the only one. Cause remember, I don't know what it is, but it seems like nowadays, like, all right, I got sick like probably like two and a half, damn near 3 weeks ago. Like I was trying to fight it off, and then it caught me, and then it's like now I'm on the down end of it. But this sinus thing. It's just like not trying to go away.
Yeah.
Because this weather's crazy.
Yeah, it caught me the same way. It's just like it. And then once you get it, it's like it's hard to, you know, like for it to go away because just like you said, it's like the sinuses, and then I have, you know, like that pulse nasal, and it just sits right in my nasal cavity, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, I am. Not really feeling that. So,
no,
yes,
not at all.
Everyone, we are slightly under the weather, but we're still rocking. You as well. Hope you guys are okay. And if not, we wish you well.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, because this weather ain't no joke. It moves, it trains too quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Because
it was hot one day and it just got cold.
Yeah. And, you know, we want to send out shout outs, you know, and condolences to all those who had to deal with this hurricane. Florida and Carolinas, you know, overseas.
Hurricane,
you know.
Michael was not any joke at all.
Yeah, man. Like, all these hurricanes, it's kind of crazy. So, definitely want to give a shout out to those who were affected by it. And, you know, it just seems like every year you get this storm or these storms and get worse and worse. And just when people are trying to get themselves together, you know, all of a sudden something comes and then knocks them off balance again.
Yep. All the time. Don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, people can recover the best way that they can from all of this.
Hopefully. Yeah. So, yo, check this out. Before we get started on the topic, I wasn't a little hot under the collar the other day. I was very, 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 like, I was ready to go green. Ready to go green.
And not in, in
but,
a good
you know,
way to go green.
Oh, no, not in a good way. I'm leaving out the house. I'm on my way to work. And, you know, I see this dude standing by the car. Uh-huh. Now, it's a good thing it was a rental car because I had something to do the next day. But I saw him standing by the car, so I'm thinking maybe he's looking at himself in the glass. But then I'm like, why is he standing there that long? Like, people usually just look and something says look down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I look on the floor, and I see a wet spot. And I say to myself, no, this MF'er is not pissing.
In front of the car.
On the car.
On the car.
In the middle of the street. There's a bar on one side of the street and a restaurant on another. Mad people outside. He's lighting a cigarette while he's pissing.
Yeah,
he was
intoxicated. Yeah.
You know some words that I choose not to use right now. I let him out. He said,
I'm sorry.
I said, you ain't sorry because you're talking to me and you're still pissing on the car. Yo, I don't know what would have happened if that was my personal vehicle. I don't know if Brother B would have been here to talk to you today. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have been, you know, getting that call and, you know. I feel like, all right, here I come.
Like,
here
yo,
I come.
Like, yo, Rev, you out in the street. People walking, yo, but you not, he ain't go in between the cars. He's peeing on the car.
Yeah, like, that's his personal vehicle.
Yeah. Like, he was so comfortable, like, you would have thought he was, like, in front of a urinal. He lit a cigarette while he was peeing, and sorry.
Well, I think since you said there's a bar across the street, yeah, he was definitely intoxicated. That had to be an intoxication type of thing.
Bars have bathrooms.
Huh?
Bars have bathrooms.
Listen, you know these people when they get intoxicated, drunk, and all that other stuff, they forget where things are, the bathroom, the keys. Their wives, their husband, yeah, they forget all of that stuff. They forget where those things are.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be drinking.
Exactly. That's what I say.
But then what was crazy was, so then the next day, I'm going to get gas. And I look around, this is where I do believe in the spider sense, the sixth sense, that instinct or whatever. So I'm looking around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking around. Something just says, look around. So I'm looking around. I wait for the car to pull out of the spot so I can pull in. So I'm waiting for them to pull out the pump so I can pull in. I pull up to the pump. I get out the car. This lady just comes up to me. Yo, she scared the crap out of me. What the hell are you doing? You just took my spot. You didn't see me online. Yo, I looked around.
What?
Yo, I mean, she screamed so loud, everybody in the gas station just stopped. Like, time just stopped, and everybody was just looking. And I was like, well, wait a minute. What line? You didn't see me. I said, see you where?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I've been waiting here all this. Yo, she was gone. I said, ma'am, it's not that serious. I will back out, and then you can have this spot. Oh, my God. You just don't care. Yo.
Mm.
I don't care. Then some dude.
It probably wasn't a line. It's probably something she pretended. She probably thought it was a line.
Listen, I don't know. But the next thing you know, some dude starts walking up to me. What happened? I'm like, oh, snap. Time to transform.
Right, exactly.
I was like, yo, I don't know. This lady just came out of nowhere and started screaming at me about she was online. He said, so she said to him, hey, you saw me online. You dropped me off right here. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. If he dropped you off right there, were you in the car or were you just like standing there? Because if you just standing there, what line? Nobody stands on the line in the gas station unless you're inside. Like, it's cars like,
right.
Like, where are you at? So she's beaming, you just dropped me off. And then all I heard was, he hit you? And then I said, what?
Huh?
And then that's what he said something about he hit you. And then she paused and I looked at her and she said, No, he didn't hit me, but I was like, you know what? See,
what
this is why I don't be fucking with the humans. This is why I don't be fucking with the humans.
Hit you? Like, what?
First of all, I'm trying to figure out.
How do we go from my spot to hit you?
Red, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where did all that come from. But first
exactly.
of all, besides me almost shitting on myself, because she just caught me off guard. I just got out the car all peaceful. And yeah. I'm like, what the hell is wrong
right.
with you?
Right. Probably ran over a dog or ran over
Yo,
something.
I thought
know?
I hit somebody. I really thought I hit somebody because she just came out just flipping. But then all of a sudden, oh, he hit you? I was like, wait. I ain't hit. First of all, she was like on the other side of the car. So if she would have said, yeah, he hit me, yo.
Oh,
right.
Boy. Yo, people are just, I can't.
Yeah, this is why I don't mess with you, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't want to mess with the humans, but unfortunately, you know, the humans always want to mess with us.
Yo, Red, in between the pissing on the car and then the lady yelling at me, yeah, I just wanted to go lock myself in the house. This is why people stay in the damn house and don't go outside.
Yep.
Because of the crazy.
Yep, exactly.
How do you get up, come outside, and somebody just standing there peeing on your car like they're in the bathroom? They're just peeing on them, smoking a cigarette. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what? And all nice to call, oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean, oh, you sorry?
My bad. Oh my gosh. Yo, I couldn't. There's a lady at the gas station. Yo, I just couldn't. I just went to a whole other gas station. I just left.
I don't blame you. I would have too. Cause then guess what? That dude, he probably wanted to make something a little bigger, trying to prove something. Cause you know how some of these.
Red. No, he didn't. Cause you know what? He said, "Listen, bro. It's all love." It apparently is she misunderstood. So he was cool about it. While I drove away, she was still yelling.
Oh, she probably was on. She probably needed her medication today. Who knows, or that day.
Yeah, basically. So that was my exciting 2 days.
All my days are exciting. It's too much to say in one setting.
It's gonna get better.
My everydays are always filled with something that I just can't, like, you know, I between going back and forth to work and just, you know, like going to stores or just, it's like the things that you see sometimes, it's like I said, it's like, am I still on Earth? Like, I have to like really look around, like, am I still on Earth? Or am I dreaming? Or I really feel like that because it's just some of the things that I see that people do and the things that they wear and it's like what's going on here?
Well, I just think that people are just not using their gray matter like they used to. Not at all.
Not at all.
And,
Not at all.
It's just really making things real bad.
Yeah, because the fact that you use your gray matter, it seems like people want to make you seem like something's wrong with you because you're using your brain.
Yeah.
And that kind of like baffles me because the last time I checked, that's what your brain is for, to use in the right, you know, in the right way and common sense and stuff like that. But it seemed like because you're using common sense or using your brain in the right way, it's like, oh, no, something's wrong with you. Oh, because you're not thinking the way I'm thinking. Oh, you're not, you know, doing things the way I'm doing. Oh, no, no, it's you that's the problem. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's what it is.
Once again, it goes back to no accountability. People just want to do stuff and they want to say, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, that wasn't my fault. Oh, maybe if you didn't do this, then this wouldn't happen. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
No
right.
accountability.
Right.
At all.
Just like him peeing on the car, like, oh, well, if they didn't have a bar across the street, I would be peeing on the car.
If your car wasn't parked there, if your car wasn't parked
right
there,
if the car wasn't parked there, I wouldn't have been peeing on your car.
Exactly.
Red?
But once again, what up, everybody? Big Red's about to be on Blog Talk Radio. It is the menu. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. Now,
yes.
Our topic tonight. Yeah, got to go there. Gentrification.
Right.
Would you like to set it off, Red, or
no? Well, you can set it off. You can set it off.
Okay.
I'll chime in as you get it going.
All right. Now, like I said in the description, I'm all good for change. Like, change is good. As long as it's a positive thing.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays it seems like this gentrification thing, it seems more like a takeover. Uh-huh. And you're putting the label of gentrification on it. The reason why I say that is because you're coming into the neighborhoods, certain neighborhoods, you're putting up a Starbucks, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. Basically, you're building, you're making stores, making things all nice. And it's cool, I get it. But you got to look at some of the residents there who may or may not be able to afford to keep up with the times economically. And I take issue with that is because basically you're pricing them out. I remember years ago, loft apartments in Manhattan, in New York, used to be like, you know, these like there's little lofts and joint downtown Manhattan or whatever, warehouse area. Either way, they used to be like $1,200 a month. Now, but see, that was back in what? Late 80s? 90s?
Yeah, maybe late 80s and
90s. Yeah, late 90s. Now, those apartments are like, oh, forget about it. Maybe five to $10,000 a month.
Probably, and some of them probably millions.
Yeah. Now, if you want to go to the hood or certain little urban areas, you know, they're doing a lot of building of brownstones. I remember years ago in Harlem, they was trying, they couldn't even get these brownstones off for a dollar.
Right.
They were like, yo, for a dollar. Nobody was really thinking about real estate at that time. Well, at least some of our people weren't. The neighborhood inhabitants weren't. And if they were thinking about it, I'm sure there was some type of loopholes that they had to go through to make it happen. See, I don't believe that somebody's just going to say, oh, yeah, we're selling this for the dollar and for a dollar. But, see, there's always a but.
Of course.
There's always something else that you're going to be like, oh, well, I can't do that. Oh, well, then you can't get the deal for a dollar. There's always something.
So it'll be some type of catch to it.
Yeah, there's always a catch. There's always a catch. They ain't going to just let you say, here, outright, do this, that, and the third. They're going to be like, no, you got to jump through some hoops first.
Right.
And if I got to go there, well, once again, Brother B is not in any way bigoted, biased, or racist. So if that's what you want to make out of what I'm saying or anything that I have to say on the show tonight, you really need to, like, put your head in the toilet and just flush. Because you're an ass. Like, you're an ass. Like, no, Brother B don't get down like that. So that's my disclaimer. But anyway, it seems like white people have more of an advantage. Or not even just white people. There are other minorities. I would even say, even let the Africans come over here, and they seem to, the door seems to open more for them, or for, his, you know, certain Hispanic people, or Spaniards,
right.
Or, you know, like I said, white people. Like, the door seems to open more, like, to the American black people that are here, which, you know, I will say some of them don't seize the opportunity as they should, because some of them choose not to educate themselves or take advantage of the right systems to
right.
put themselves, you know, in the right situations where they can continue to make money. But then you have other people that come over here and they're like, boom, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and boom, they make it happen.
Right.
They make it happen.
But
back to the people in the neighborhood, you're pricing the people are like being priced out, like they can't afford to keep up. You have an apartment that maybe at one point was $500 or $800 a month. Now it's like $1,600 a month.
Right, $1,600, or like I said, some of them going up to the million mark. But I mean, the issue that I have with that is with the gentrification. Is like I say, why is it that we cannot try to build our own in our neighborhoods instead of letting someone else come in, build, and then we're putting money into their pockets, and then once again, a lot of them treat us a certain way. Like, I'm going to say, like, a lot of those corner stores. And I think it's a half-and-half situation with that, because I've seen some of those, you know, the corner stores where how these young people call it, the ox. That's what they call them, the ox or whatever they call them. They go into the store, and I've seen a lot of them go into the store, and they be talking to them crazy. Oh, yo, ox, so-and-so, and cussing at them and
wait,
all that
wait,
other
wait,
stuff.
Wait.
And I'm like,
wait, hold
and I'm
on.
Like,
wait, hold on. Wait, Red. We have to, there may be a language barrier. So to all those who don't know what the ha is, we're talking about like the Arab owned delis,
right?
In the neighborhood, that's what we're talking about. The Arab owned delis, and
yeah.
Of course, you know they come in and then they start to build up some type of rapport or relationship with you know the people, you know, the of the neighborhood. Yo, I just noticed, did I really put this show at 2 hours? Oh, my gosh. No. Yes, I did. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know I did that. That's crazy. Yeah, we're going to be cutting it at 10. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so, yeah, that's basically, yeah, I should have explained that a little because, you know, not everybody knows. But once again, that's just something that I hear a lot of these young, you know, men say, they say that, or, you know, I just hear the young people say that. So,
yeah.
You know, I hear them talk to them all crazy and all this stuff, you know, too. But then it's like, all right, we're putting our, you know, if they do something that you don't like or whatever, but you're still putting your money into that store. You're still putting your money into that store, even though they may do something that you don't like, or they ain't making your sandwich right or whatever. So then why keep putting your money into the store if you know they're not doing what you want them to do, or they make, you know, speak to you a certain way that you may not like or whatever. And then instead of you, like I said, not putting your money into it, you rather keep going in the store and y'all going back and forth with with them every day. But I mean, you know, I don't know if that's something that's supposed to happen. I don't know. But you know, that's the issue that I have, like, even with a lot of the nail salons, and, you know, they're owned by either the Chinese, Koreans, or whoever, you know, whatever ones own them. And, you know, once again, it's like a half-and-half thing. They're in the neighborhoods because they know that, you know, people are going to want their nails and feet done. And but then I also see, you know, the people that come into those salons, and or the women, rather, that come into those salons, and they're you know, turning up on those people a lot of times. And sometimes it's not necessary. I mean, I understand that, you know, maybe sometimes they may do something or say, once again, they may do or say something that you may not like. All right, then don't put your dollar into that then. Go someplace else or find something that's maybe, you know, black-owned if that's what you want to do. But then, you know, I see a lot of, you know, our people, they go in there, and a lot of them women, and they go in there and they really turn up and they, you know, talk to them all crazy, but you expect them, you know, they're not slaves. Like, I, you know, I understand maybe why, but they're not slaves because you wouldn't want nobody to talk to you like that.
Now, that's the front. Now, you just answered your own question of why we don't do certain things. Now, come on. We're going to have it out on this conversation. Boom. That's why a lot of people, well, let's just say black people in, that live in the area, that's why they don't take the initiative. Some of them don't take the initiative to do that because they don't want someone, they feel like, oh, that's beneath them. Some of them actually feel, oh, I'm not doing nobody's feet. Oh, I'm not doing nobody's nails like that. I'm not doing nothing like that. Even though they'll spend their money to go get it done, they're actually not going to spend their money to get the license and put in the work to start the business so that way, you know, they can make money.
Right.
Some of them are not going to do that. And some of them are just not going to want to feel like, oh, I'm beneath, you know, like, oh, yeah, you doing my feet. Like, you know, do this. They don't want nobody talking to them like that because
right.
they know how they're going to talk to somebody. So they don't want nobody talking to them like that. So therefore, they wouldn't even get involved in doing something like that. They wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is now you see, but I'm now since that incident that happened with the that nail salon incident that happened, I guess, before the summer came in or around the time the summer time came in with the women. The women were on, they were fighting each other, and somebody got hit with a broom or something like that.
Yeah.
I noticed since that time, now all of a sudden you see all these people, you know, posting on Facebook, oh, this black-owned nail salon, and this person is black-owned, and, oh, my niece do nails, and this is, now you want to put all of that out there, and that's the thing that's kind of killing it also, because it's like, why do y'all have to wait until something happened? Now you want to put this out there. Why haven't y'all advertised this before? Why isn't this something that should be known already? Just like, you know, all those nail salon, your nail salon should be known like that.
Well, some people don't believe shit stinks until they either step in it or smashed in their face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two good friends of mine, Felicia and Billy Most, started this thing called Black Long Island. It's basically a website, Black Long Island, where all the people on Long Island, all the business owners, black business owners, it's basically a resource, place of resource where you can go if you want to just deal with black-owned business.
Okay.
All
right.
And, you know, I'm sure somewhere in the near future it'll be more than just a black Long Island, just on Long Island, but, you know, other places as well. But the thing is this. The reason why people start running to that whole black-owned thing is because when you keep getting your face smacked by somebody, when you keep getting constantly disrespected and you're giving somebody your money and they're disrespecting you, it gets to a point where it's like, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So then it's kind of, so then you want to try something different. So some people will say, well, you know, what is it so special about black owned? Well, it's just because we understand where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, we may understand where we're coming from, but see, we don't support each other.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right. And then, you know, once again, like I said, by that time, by the time you want to be out there and branch out, guess what? The gentrification has already, you know, they've already came in, took over, and, like, they got a rapport of people coming in now. And then okay, now you coming on the scene, and it's just like, I'm going, you know, people going to go with what they know. They're like, oh, I'd rather go with what I know already. I've been going to them for 3 and 4 years. I've been going to this cafe shop for 3 or 4 years, and here you go opening up this, and it's just like, you know, it may be black owned, but you know what? I'm not too sure. You know, I'd rather stay with what I know.
See, check this out. You know why gentrification is working? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it, because we are not. Gentrification is working because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
White people and other people see it like this. If you Negroes, you black people, are not going to build up your own area, if we have to do it, trust me, we're running the show.
Right.
And that's just how but you know what I'm saying? That's just kind of how the mentality of a lot of people work. It's not just white, it's not just Indian or Asian, but that's how it is in general. Listen, if you and somebody else get into a relationship and the dude just turn around and come in and like, yo, I'm paying the rent, I'm paying this, I'm paying that, he's going to feel like, boom, this is all that I'm doing.
Right.
So
yep.
I'm the leader of the pack. What's that saying? I pay the cost to be the boss.
Be the boss, right.
Exactly. That's how a lot of people feel. That's how they look at it. So
No, they look at it as, oh, well, I'll say just like, what's that area over there? Franklin Avenue, over there where the shuttle train is, and like Brooklyn, that part of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I've been seeing for years that they was changing that area, but they wasn't changing it. And I mean, since like maybe, I'm going to say maybe the late, I'll say maybe the late 80s into the 90s, I've been seeing that area for years changing up. And now it looks really totally different than it did maybe like, you know, in the late 80s or before the late 80s. Totally different. And they, you know, everything has changed around there, and it's like stores that were there, they're not there no more. They done moved stores, they done got rid of. It's a lot of things that they have done that changed that whole area around it. But they wasn't changing it for the people that were already living around it. They were changing it for the new people that was coming. Like I said, this new Brooklyn that's going on now.
Well, you know why? And then you know what I'm saying? I have to kind of say how. Like I talk with a lot of people, we have these conversations, opinions back and forth, or this, that, and the third. And yo, the reason why is like, why should I invest in you, and you don't want to invest in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But now these hipsters are coming along. These millennials, they got money. They're willing to live for in an apartment and pay like $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing. $20 for a pack of cigarettes, and you know, instead of wanting a hero, they want a panini, and you know, they want all this organic stuff. They're willing to pay for that because they're getting the
Whole
jobs.
Foods.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. They're willing to pay for all of that. No problem. They're willing to do this. Oh well, I got to buy this. I got to go. I got to live Whole Foods because the Whole Foods is healthier food, and it's this, that, and third.
Organic.
It's organic. But see, the whole thing is, once again, if we don't invest in ourselves, why does somebody else should? See, because now if I got to come throw my money in, I'm not throwing my money in for you. I'm throwing my money in for the people that's coming.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I know they're gonna spend that dough. I know my investment is not going to be lost on
yep.
some people who don't want to maintain their own shit.
And that's the sad part about it.
Yeah, and that's just real talk right there, because you've seen it years and years and time again. All these
right,
neighborhoods,
that's
from
the sad part about
Brooklyn,
that's...
certain parts of Queens, cats don't want, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? All these cats talking about they selling drugs, they doing this, they doing that, they big in the music, da-da-da-da-da. All these cats talking all this shit, yo, buy a project. Yo, buy a plot of land,
exactly.
Something. You know what I'm saying? But once again... You want all that shiny shit? You rather spend $50,000 to $80,000 on a Mercedes Benz instead, and be hood fabulous instead of actually investing that money in something, that money in something that'll make you back money.
Yeah, it's, that's the sad part about it, that all these, like these rappers, I'm not going to say really like the rappers that, because the rappers that we know, they, or, you know, like the ones that we grew up on, I'm sure they've invested in a lot as much as they could. It's time for these new ones to do.
A lot of them don't make that much money anyway. Like, it's all just about the look. And that's and that's not the cross red. But see, we got to stop being so concerned with the look. Like, yo, one day I was looking, somebody put one of those memes up on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg. And somebody put over a billion dollars in one room, and you don't see them wearing no Gucci or nothing like that.
Right.
Like, you don't see them wearing anything fancy. They probably just wearing regular Levi's and this, that, and the third. But the whole thing is, it's our perception that's kind of misconstrued on things.
Right.
And that's what I have a problem with. It's like, we just look at the shiny stuff and what we can get up front, but we're not looking at, you know, the long haul. Caller 4644, you're on the air with the menu. What's up?
Well, you know, blacks developing groups benefit from gentrification also. It's a group in St. Louis. Hey, what's going on? There's a group in St. Louis, Missouri, called the Kingsway Merchants Group, and they're developing a area that was blacks moving out. The houses are, you know, they just can't maintain the homes, and you just can't have that type of progress or that type of situation and keep it for long. And there are some good things. They set the minimum or the maximum amount of the value of a house is going to be $160,000, 1,200 square feet, I think it is. So that's not bad. It's near a hospital, so it's going to attract a lot of professional people. But I want to make another comment, if you don't mind. You're talking about investments. You got black football players that's kneeling, complaining about whatever. Those football players, money is managed by money managers who are responsible for trying to get them the largest gain that they possibly can. So they inserted in investment houses like J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, even Trump Holdings, because they're trying to get the greatest for their investment. Now, when they go into those entities, they turn around and will invest that money in Corrections Corporation of America, in another company, NEO, amongst others, like Nike. Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, he contributes to Republican candidates, also probably Democratic candidates too. So not only that, you have a fraternal order police who also have their money invested in the same situations. You have teachers union, 401Ks, probably somebody on this line have a 401K whose money is ended up being invested with these prison companies. So what I'm saying is that there's no escaping it. It's everywhere. Wherever you try making your point, you are in essence supporting those who are benefiting off those points.
Well, listen, you got to be in the game to know the game. And the thing is, where we're coming from with this topic is, like, there's a lot of people that are, of our people are just not in the game. There are a lot of people in the urban areas, whether they're, you know, that are non-black, that are just not in the game. Maybe they would like to be, but they just don't know how to go about it. And see, the thing is, I don't have an issue with gentrification, but the issue that I do have is when you come into the neighborhood, you come into the community, and then you take the warmth out of it. Prime example, hip-hop. When it first started out, nobody wanted to be bothered. No one outside of black people wanted to be bothered with it because it was just our thing in the streets. It was what we was doing, jamming at the parks, this, that, and the third. when I have to say corporate America, white people, Jews, got wind of it that, hey, we can make money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it into an industry. And the industry ruined it. It took the warmth out of it.
Quality and the warmth out of it, exactly.
And see, this is what's going on. Communities are no longer communities anymore. There's these, just kind of like these Sims-built neighborhoods. And people come in, other people are coming in. And, hey, listen, I don't have a problem with white people or anybody moving in the area. Like, I don't have any issues with anybody, but when you do come in, kind of respect the culture of what's going on. I couldn't move into a white neighborhood and put up a mosque. Or I couldn't move into a white neighborhood and put up, you know, a wine store. I couldn't do that because they wouldn't allow me.
That's the problem that I have, that we're not able to come into their neighborhoods and build up, but you could come in our neighborhoods and build up. And the thing is, like I say, we are allowing that. Instead of us trying to put money into our own, we're allowing, just like, oh, just lay back and just say, you know what, let them do it. But why do you keep letting them do it? And then when they come up, you know, come at you about certain things, then you want to get upset.
And the thing is, we really can't get upset about a lot of things. Like, just like you spoke on the Colin Kaepernick and him kneeling. It's not, he can kneel all he wants to. I respect where he's coming from. But until we put some type of backing to his kneeling, it's not going to stop. Nothing is going to change at all. We can keep kneeling. We can keep saying. We can keep talking. We can scream Black Lives Matter. We can scream this. We can scream that. But until we make some type of moves and we keep it consistent, nothing is going to change.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem. Like I said, gentrification, listen, you should want to take pride in your own neighborhood. You should want to take, you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be throwing stuff, trash out the window, doing all this. You should want to take pride in where you live at. You should. But
right.
There's a big difference between the people who rent and the people that own. Some people that rent don't respect. But if you own it, then, you know, it's your baby. You gotta cherish it. You gotta keep it looking good all the time, and
right.
It shouldn't be like, no matter what, as long as you pay your dollar, you know what I'm saying. You should take pride in what you're paying your dollar for.
Right.
That's why if I go in a store, and I feel that I'm being slighted, I leave. I'll go someplace else, cross town. I do business with people that I've been doing business with for years until they move out, then I find somebody else. But otherwise, I don't really spread my dollar too much to too many people that don't. I don't give my dollar to people who don't deserve it.
Right.
That's that. If you can treat me a certain way,
or don't
way,
respect you at all, or don't have any respect for you.
Exactly. But see, once again, and I'm going to say it, and I'm sure our caller from Minnesota will agree. If you don't respect yourself, how do you expect somebody else to respect you?
Uh-huh.
If you don't respect the game of business, how do you expect anyone to take you serious? So you get some money. The first thing you do is open up a liquor store. That's first thing on your mind. You get some money. First thing you want to do is what? Okay, you open up a nail salon or a wig store or some a beauty product store. Listen, I get it, and it's all good because it's something to, you know, cater to us. But it's not just about us. You got to start doing things. You got to start thinking outside the box. You got to start catering to other people.
Right. Open up a smoke shop. It's plenty of them that, you know, plenty of smoke shops that I see in certain areas that were never there before.
But we're not doing it. Because
exactly.
We're too busy with the $80,000 Mercedes Benz living in a project or living in a hood.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Too busy looking fly. You know what I'm saying? Too busy with. There was this movie that I saw years ago called Boiler Room, and I think it was the first movie that I saw. It was Vin Diesel was in it.
Uh-huh.
These guys, it was like some Wall Street brokers like scam type thing. But anyway, it was two guys in the movie having a conversation. And one guy was like, yeah, I'm going to go take money. I'm going to go out and buy a Lamborghini and all that. And the guy told him, says, Lamborghini? He said, you want to go out and buy what? Go out and buy a Lamborghini and have $5 in your pocket? And he said, you know what that is? That's nigga money.
Exactly.
He said, you go and buy a special car and have $10 in your pocket. That's nigga money. Now, when I heard that, like, I was like, wow. Like, I was highly freaking offended. Like, why did it have to be, like, why did it have to be labeled that? It's because that's the thought program of a lot of people.
Right. Exactly.
And what's sad is sometimes that's the thought program of some of us. So when gentrification happens, we may not like it, but what are we doing to change the tide of it? Because we're not, to a degree, see, we can benefit. We can reap the benefits, but our economic standing is just not there.
No,
if we don't pull our pants up, how do you walk properly? You know what I'm saying? Call a 5891 year old woman.
Hello, 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 hello.
Fine
hello,
people.
What's going on?
What's up? What's up? Yeah. That's right. That's why I'm coming with the bark, y'all. What's going on,
y'all? I'm coming
here
with the bark, y'all.
What's up?
Listen, with all, I was listening to everything that you guys are saying, but I'm just going to start with this. You know, there's a saying that I go by that I would say, you can't buy a Cadillac by hoop demeans. And the reason why I say it like this is like this. If you can't afford it, then why the hell are you buying it? You know, I mean, the problem is with the whole thing with this gentrification. Let's look at a picture, for example. Like, you live in a neighborhood and you're not taking care of it. You know, it's your neighborhood. You live there, but are you taking responsibilities and trying to fix things in the neighborhood that you're supposed to be fixing? No. People want to blame other people for the problems that goes on, but what you're really not looking at is what you're doing wrong. You understand what I'm saying about that?
Well, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, because
I don't listen.
How
many black people are looking into, I mean, I don't know. Why don't we look into buying into the Starbucks franchise?
Exactly.
Right.
But,
and that's a big, and guess what? The girl going by them $5 and $10 be standing on that line for the $5 and $10 coffee, but you won't put no, you know, you won't invest in it in some type of way, or you won't, you know,
exactly.
You won't put your money into it some type of way.
Because you know what
but
it
you,
is? This is what we're not looking at what we're doing wrong. Because you know what it is? This is the thing. Okay. Racism exists. It's always gonna exist. It ain't going nowhere. But at the same time, what are we doing to fix things in our own neighborhoods?
Nothing. A lot of us are nothing. I mean, now, don't get it twisted. You do have some small, you know, I think it was around the era of Bloomberg in New York.
Yeah.
Where a lot of, when Bloomberg came in, a lot of the mom and pop stores, little small stores,
right,
started to disappear because he really was big on bringing in corporate.
Right.
He was big on big money. So if you couldn't roll with the rush, if you couldn't afford it, then you couldn't keep your head above water. But see, that part of that, we allow gentrification to happen because we're not investing in our community. We're not investing in ourselves.
Nope.
We're not investing in anything to make it happen for us. So, of course, if I see an opportunity, I'm going to try and go in and get it. Like, well, listen, if you don't want to take
exactly
care of it, I'm going to get it. Once again, it's like the brownstones in Brooklyn, brownstones in Harlem. Now them joints is like millions of dollars.
Right.
Of course. And there's something else too, like where
they sell it to the black folk in the neighborhood for a dollar or whatever. They didn't want it then. But now.
But then after we get mad. And you know what? One guy I remember was saying, I guess, oh, but our neighborhood is getting a makeover, like it's being cleaned up. I'm like, yeah, but why does it have to take people from outside of us
exactly
to clean up the neighborhood? This shouldn't be happening.
Right. Because look at the biggest thing. I'll say the biggest thing, like with Brooklyn, the Barclays. Look how that has changed that whole, like,
the whole area.
The whole area. I remember it must have been about, I'm going to say maybe about 2007.
Yeah,
maybe about 2007 going into 2008. I remember going downtown Brooklyn, Fulton Street, and you seen mostly us down there. Like, I'm going to say it like that. You seen mostly us. I went down there, and like I said, it was about 2007, 2008. And it was just like mobs of white people. And it's like, where did all these people come from? Like, I was like, kind of like, where did all they come? Not saying that, you know, anything wrong with it, but it's just like, where did y'all come from? It was like a rush. And I'm looking
because
like, where did y'all come
it's
from?
Cheaper. They figured that it's cheaper to be in Brooklyn because especially in certain areas where we don't own property because, you see, this is the thing. You don't own no property in those areas. And, you know, when I talk about not, you mentioned in Brooklyn, but also let's look at the bigger picture because guess what? This is going on throughout the whole United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother who lives out in California was telling me about the changes that's going on in South Central L.A.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Certain areas in Compton, you won't even recognize anymore.
Wow.
But once again,
go ahead.
This is, who does it really benefit? It's obviously not benefiting us because we're not taking the initiative to do what needs to be done. My thing is, we always quick to get angry about things. You want to get angry because there's a Starbucks. You want to get angry because X, Y, Z. Listen, my whole attitude is, listen, white people want to move in, come on in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Listen, there's enough space for everybody. But my thing is, don't get mad when the store that you used to get coffee for 75 cents shuts down and now it's being replaced by a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and now you got to pay upward of $2.
Right.
Or a small cup of coffee. Don't get mad. You allowed this to happen. You put gentrification into motion. We did this. A lot of us did this because we didn't take the initiative.
Right.
We allowed another thing, like you were saying earlier, Red, like you had a problem with that. We allow a lot of the disrespect because people come in here and say, well, listen, why should I respect you if you, once again, you don't respect yourself? Look at that trash all over the floor. You're pissing on the stairwell. You're pissing in the elevator.
Exactly.
You're doing all that. Like, I got to come in here and clean it up. So I got an attitude because I got to come up here and clean up your face.
Listen, here's what I got to say about this. We're failing to take responsibilities for our own place. Like, okay, you live in a neighborhood. You live in a messed up neighborhood. And I've heard this from a young brother who was talking about that. Okay, you live in a messed up neighborhood. You're complaining, this is happening in the neighborhood. You know how you could solve that solution? By stop messing up the neighborhood.
Right.
Exactly.
And I bet he told you, oh, I'm one person. I can't just do it myself. Oh, I just can't. I bet you he told you that, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like this. He said like this. But another brother said, listen, y'all need to take responsibilities for your own actions.
Yep.
It's time to take responsibility because you live in a messed up neighborhood. Stop messing it up. And, of course, you're allowing the very same people who come into the neighborhood and messing it up. Y'all ain't doing nothing about it. Instead, people complaining about, stop snitching. What you mean stop snitching? Someone coming into your neighborhood and messing it up. What you going to do about it?
Exactly. See, one of my issues is the code of the street. But first of all, to me, there are no streets anymore. It ain't what it used to be. It's just road. Things are not the same anymore. This generation coming up, and sadly, even some of our generation just doesn't get it anymore, or really never had it.
Right.
You know, your priority is wrong, And I just really cram to understand how people seem to think that you're supposed to get something and not put something in. Like,
exactly.
There are no freebies. There's no freebies in life. So how do you think that you're just supposed to get and not give? How do you think things are just supposed to happen without putting in some type of work? And see, that's the problem. We don't put in that work where everybody else does. So when, once again, you complain about this, you complain about that, you can complain all you want to, but once again, what work are you putting in? What are you
putting
in?
I hear everything you're saying, and the sad thing is a lot of people are going to get mad and saying like this, oh, you blaming us for what's going on.
You have to. We are to blame. Listen, I can't listen. If I come in your house, I mean, call us 6947. You're on. Let me just make this quick point real quick.
Right.
If I come in your house and put my feet up on your table, and you don't say anything, well, that means somebody else come in your house and put their feet up on your table. Because obviously
exactly.
They don't try it because we ain't saying nothing. So everybody got their feet on our table because we ain't saying nothing. And we ain't doing anything about it. So it is what it is. You can cry, can say whatever you want to say. But once again, like you said, K-Dog, and like you said, Big Red, they can come here, but we cannot do it in their neighborhood. You try to go to a neighborhood. And open up. No, listen. You go over to Jewish neighborhood, probably open up.
You can't even go in their neighborhood and rent a damn apartment, let alone trying to open up something.
Exactly. You can't do it. 6947,
what's up? Hi, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight?
How you doing this time?
What's up?
So, I'm listening, and I agree with a lot of what I hear. I don't live in the city. I do live on Long Island, and I'm just going to talk about my particular town because I grew up here.
Oh, wait a minute.
And,
I got to stop you real quick. Wait, Ms. Cherry, I got to stop you real quick. See, he lives in Long Island, and you know you got a lot of people from Long Island a lot of them don't want to live far away in the suburbs anymore because the jobs are in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting this influx. And they're like, hey, they're going to make it work for them. They're going to come in and take this neighborhood and make it comfortable. They're going to make it like the new suburb because that's what they're used to.
Yeah, but I also think it's happening in Long Island, too, because my town is predominantly minorities. And we see a lot of people coming in and building up, and they're branching off into little villages within. So where I grew up, where I'm living now, it's been in the news a lot, not for positive things, but also I know if I go a couple of blocks down certain areas, you can see they're building up like crazy, and those apartments are starting at $350 and up. That's not going to really draw the average person to move in there. So they're looking to move in certain type of people. But what I was going to say was a lot of the comments about and I agree with it. I always tell my son, or I taught my son, I bought a house out here. I tell him it's not the neighborhood, it's the people. You know, it depends on what your tolerance level is. If I come outside and my neighbors are throwing garbage on the ground, I'm making a phone call because I don't want to live in that neighborhood.
Right.
I don't want my son to have to explain that we live by an abandoned house or we live by, you know, a house where the people have laundry on the front lawn. That's not necessary. You make a couple of phone calls, you demand better standards, and people are going to fall into place. So just to comment what you're saying, there's a lot of buildup on Long Island also. A lot of the cheaper properties that are based in majority-minority areas are being sold out. They're being sold out. They're being built in. People are moving in. We're having the same issues out here.
Wow. That's crazy. That is definitely.
But the thing is, why is it crazy? Like, why is it? Is it far fetched? It shouldn't be a far fetched concept. I mean, hey, listen, if you don't want to do anything with it, someone else will.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. If you don't want to work it out, somebody else will. And we always put opportunity in someone else's hands.
Exactly. Because you know what it is?
We we never hold on to it, or we never try to grasp it because we're too busy giving it to someone else. You know why?
And like I said,
hold on. I got to make this point. We're giving it to somebody
ahead.
Else. You know why? Because I don't want to wait 5 years to see a return.
Yeah.
I
want
to see a return in 30 days.
Yep.
I don't want to wait 10 years to see some type of wealth. I want to see it in 12 months. We're not patient. We're not patient. Like a lot of cats
everything right
think
now.
They know how the game go. Yeah, they think they know how the game go. Investing, they don't really know. You know, it's about patience. It's about sitting back and watching growth.
But I also think that a lot of us have been raised, or we've been made to believe that products that we put out are not as good as the same products that are put out by other people that don't look like us. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you go into a store, you order. Say you're looking for a daycare. You walk in, you automatically assume that if it's in a certain type of area and certain people are running it, it's going to be run a lot better than other areas. You know, and that's just the way that we've been conditioned. You know, through the education system or even through social media, TV. Every time we look on TV and there's a problem, we can look and see that it's going to be somebody that looks like us more than somebody that doesn't.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And because of that belief that we have built into our core, we do tend to shy away from our businesses, from supporting them. I agree with you also. The problem that we have is when we do start a business, when we first start a business, we want that return, you said, within 12 months. We're not looking long term. It's going to take 3 or 4 years or 5 years or 6 years to get it off the ground. And we're not looking at legacies. We're looking at, I started the business this year. I want to have that in the green zone within 12 months. I want to be driving that Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
We're not looking at that, and they are. And they are also willing to invest. They do group investments. I don't have 250, but I got five friends that got 50.
Exactly.
And we
get
together, and we make it work. We don't do that.
Nope, not at all, because everybody's looking at, oh, well, that person's going to make more than me, or that person don't want to put his – no, not even make more. That person's not going to put their part in, because you know that's how that goes as well. Well, we're going to – all five of us, well, we make the plan, and we're going to all put in, just like you said, 50. But you know what? This one this week, oh, well, I got to do this, that, and the other, so I can't put in my 50 this week. And then the other one got an excuse of somebody, and then guess what? Then that one is back down to that one person.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, when the hell are we going to do this if I'm the only one that's on board with this?
Yeah.
Exactly.
They do group investments. They look at the long term. They discuss plans. We try to go out, start a business by ourselves, and then when you fail, you lose everything. And it is harder to secure those type of loans.
Yep.
But
that's exactly what it is.
I mean, listen, what's the other saying? You know, champagne dreams or old English money? I mean, it's real talk. I mean, listen, there are other people out there, you know, that put they put meaning to their dollar. They put their sweat behind it. They're like, I'm gonna come here. Like, you got people that, listen, I remember back in the days where before the vans, the Jamaica vans. Those that are from New York, they know about the van lines over Jamaica Avenue. The Jamaicans came over there. The Caribbean people came over. They made a van line and said, hey, if you can't catch a bus like that, listen, the bus at that time was probably, what, $1.25?
Yeah.
Something like that. So you can catch a van. You can catch a dollar van. And that'll take you to just basically the same damn bus route.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably started from one van to two van. Next thing you know, you got the dollar vans. They ain't dollars no more.
They got a whole fleet going on over there.
They changed it.
They got a whole thing going on over there.
And yo, they made it. They came over here and said, "Yo, we gonna make this happen," and they made it happen.
That's a problem, and they work on how to resolve it.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, I'm gonna be real. I'm going to be real because I've had this conversation before. And to those American black people who want to talk crap about other people coming over here and getting this and making it happen, because they're getting it because they are making it happen. We've been here. We've been here and we ain't doing shit. So don't get mad when somebody else come over here and make it happen, because we just sitting on the toilet. Ain't doing nothing. Either shit or get off the pot.
Yep.
We just sitting on the pot. And we've been here. We got all the opportunities. From education to programs to all this and that, we got it. We just don't utilize it. Because a lot of them want to get rich quick. Listen.
Yeah, why should I do all of that? But just like you said, why should I sit up here and wait 5 and 6 years when I could get that hustle on and get this money in less than a year?
But like I was saying earlier, you know, you cannot buy a Cadillac by hoopty means. And you know what it is? It's like the problem is that many of us are not educated economic-wise. We're not educated in economics, and that's the sad part about it.
Well, yeah, because once again, some of us either choose not to educate ourselves. See, education could be a great thing for some or a dangerous thing for those who don't want you to be educated. Because the last thing they want you to there are people out there that don't want you to be smart enough to invest in your community. They don't want you to have certain opportunities because they want the opportunities for themselves. They want to be able to say, in 5 years, son or daughter, you're going to run this. We don't tell our kids that. We don't pass that on. And that's the problem, because once again, we're looking at tomorrow instead of next year. We're not looking past tomorrow. And gentrification, once again, it's really not benefiting us, because economically we can't keep up. These rents are out of control. Rent stabilization is basically gone.
Yep.
They've done away with a lot of that. So now what you're going to do?
I think we do have enough buying power in our community. I think we just spend money on the wrong things. I think we do, because when I look at my neighborhood, I have people that are driving $80,000 cars, and then I have people that are driving $20,000. Now, if you are able to afford an $80,000 car, what are you doing in this neighborhood?
Exactly.
The thing is, you picked up something you can't afford to try to impress other people that can't afford it either. So we're so busy trying to show each other that we have more than the next door neighbor, but none of us have anything. We have to realize that.
Joe, you just really said, Miss Cherry, you just really said something serious. You heard what you said. Now, what you said was, you buy the car to impress. Now, sometimes I wonder if it's someone trying to impress, or are you trying to put yourself on a pedestal? Listen, a king doesn't live amongst peasants.
Exactly.
A king lives in a castle. Mm-hmm. So if you feel that you're that status, then you need to be in that castle. You don't live amongst the peasants. From all the storybooks and all the little movies, everything, people who are of a certain status live in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you call yourself, what do you call yourself, some type of hood star or whatever you claim to be? You got the $80,000.
That's the normal now, but that's the norm. That's the thing. That's the sad part about it. It has become normal. This has become normal that, yeah, you have to be that, just like you said, that hood status or that, oh, well, I got an $80,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got that car, but look where you're living at. Like, you're not living someplace. It's not like you got a whole mansion, like a mini mansion or something like that. Yeah, if you had a mini mansion and have an $80,000 car, okay, I could see that. And, you're in a little gated community and it's just you and your family, but... You know, it's like, or you have some type of, you know, you're living there and you have some type of investment someplace else, or you have something that you own, and then, okay, you have that. But, no, that's the whole point.
And another thing is this.
Wait, hold on, K-Dog. Call 3203. Air with the menu. What's up?
What's going on? I'm just listening right now.
What's up? Hello?
Just listening right now.
Oh, okay. All right, sir. Sorry about that. Okay, dog. What were you saying? What was I about to say?
And the thing is, it's like this. It's like, and I'm glad you mentioned about the car and all, because at the barbershop, I hear a couple of cats talking. And one time this dude said like this, you know what's messed up? How is it that, all right, you buying yourself an expensive-ass car, but yet where you live at, you live in a basement where you're using bed sheets for curtains. Like, what the hell are you doing? And you know what's sad about it? Trying to and this is where this whole thing with social media comes in, that causes the lack of education. Stop trying to live like the high class, like the 100%ers. Stop trying to live like that. Stop trying to live beyond your means. Stop trying to, you know, when you get paid, it's good to save your money, because we're talking about, I remember a couple of days ago, I was having a conversation with a couple of cats that were talking about this whole thing with people still living in the projects. Like, he said, there's ways that you could do better and get yourself the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Do something that's good. First up, okay, you stop trying to live. That's where it all comes down to, stop trying to live beyond your means. You get paid. Why don't you save your money, pay off your bills, be responsible with your money. But instead, you're taking your paycheck and you're going to the store. You got to buy the Louis Vuitton bag. You got to buy the
New iPhone.
You got to buy all of this. But then after that, then you're losing money. You don't even pay your bills. You're not even responsible enough to pay your bills. And your credit score is all messed up. And you're sitting there like, man, look what I got. I'm like, did you pay your bill? Oh, please, I don't need to pay that.
I don't need to pay that.
Well, the priorities, see, that's the thing, the priorities are messed up. The priorities are screwed up. We're looking at one thing. Some of us are looking at one thing first and not looking at another. Like, you want to look at the house and be like, oh, it's nice, but do you ever want to own it? That's the whole thing.
That could be a generational thing as well, because if you're not being taught to save, or you're not being taught to have more than just, like I said, just like you said, you're living in the projects, but you got an $80,000 car, you know, just to give that scenario. If you're not being taught priorities, if you're not being taught, okay, all right, you're living in the projects, but you know what? Why don't you get this, why don't you get this little used car for a little $5,000, and guess what? You're saving a whole lot more money. Throw your little money in, you know, whatever you work at, throw your little money in, so this way you can get yourself out of where you're at. Just like you said, you get yourself out of there. So you have to think differently. You don't have to be walking around with the latest Jordans and all that on. That don't mean nothing. You in the projects, walking around the projects all day long or whatever. What do you need Jordans for every day?
Exactly.
Or different pairs. You don't need that. What do you need an iPhone for just to? I mean, even if the person is working, what do you need an iPhone for? To say, hey, yo, Negroes, look at me. I got the new. No, just get a damn phone and keep it. Just get whatever. What you call it up there? Galaxy, Android. Just get a regular phone. You don't have to show off.
No, they gotta catch up with the celebrities. They gotta catch up with.
Right, you know how you show off? Show off by saying, "Yo, you got the moving van in front of the damn building, and you move. Yo, where you going? Yo, I'm out of here. Yo, I brought a house. Yeah, that's how you show off."
But then afterwards, go ahead.
As we invest in materialism to try to impress each other, we're not investing in our future. We're not saving money so our kids can go to college.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saving money so our kids can get, you know, skills through a trade school. We're looking at them and saying, well, we don't have it, but you know what? Let's go get you some Jordans for the time being.
Exactly.
It is a long-term investment. And I was going to say, I work in corporate America. It's not just our community, because I work in corporate America, and I sit there every day and I listen to people that live in, you know, zip codes that are better than mine. And at the end of the day, I think they get up just like me at 8:30 to get there and work a full day to get a paycheck. If they had it that good, they wouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we're impressed by other people that don't have anything. If we're focused on the right thing, you would never be impressed by people sitting right over to your right side or right over to your left, telling you what they have and you don't, because bottom line is they don't have it, otherwise they wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, some people want to talk about Black Wall Street. Now, that you know, used to exist many years ago, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Black Wall Street, you know, around in other parts of the country. Now, what's interesting is, and I gotta say it, I got to go there. I'm sure people will disagree, but I also watched the video, and it just kind of confirmed something that I kind of felt for some time. I think that integration kind of ruined us in a way to
it made us comfortable.
It made us comfortable, and it made us dependent. We lost our independence because we chose to become dependent on someone else and what they had going on. And my thing is, the reason why I think another Black Wall Street will not happen, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I don't think it will happen because a lot of us don't have that pride. We don't have that, damn sure don't have the unity. And it's gotten to a point where it won't be allowed. Like if they saw us unifying on the horizon, they would not allow it. They would try to shut it down before it even started.
Yep, definitely.
So once again, we gave power. With the independence and the power that we had, we turned it over. Just like when it comes down to the cops. A cop, listen, you can't give them reason. Because if you give them reason, they're going to do what they need to do. So when they go out and buy all of these, get all these little things from the military, these guns, these tasers, these tanks, when they get all this stuff, because they're like, oh, somebody's like, well, these inner city people, they're acting crazy. And when they want to, Black Lives Matter, and they want to act this, we got to be prepared because I'm not going to Fox to somebody else's, their attitude. So my whole thing is we can't continue to keep giving away the power that we have. Because once again, gentrification, whether it's of the neighborhood or it happens socially, it's happening because we are giving them way. We're just giving them a way for them to do it.
Yep. Because it's cool. And I also think it's laziness.
Yeah.
No, it is.
It's laziness. I hate to say that, but a lot of it is laziness. And once again, it's
like I said, we all got comfortable once integration came in.
Right, because it's like I said, it's let them do it instead of us just thinking for ourselves and say, you know what, why don't we do this? Why don't we build us a library or put a library up in this neighborhood? Why can't we do that? No, we don't think that way. Not all of us, but I'm just saying we don't think that way.
But the thing is, we used to think that way years ago, but we stopped.
Exactly.
We stopped thinking that way because once again, we got complacent, we got lazy, we got dependent, we lost our independence. And once you lose your independence, then what do you do? You just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. Like they can sit here and say all day long, oh, you know, well, there's more Black people on welfare than white. No, there isn't. Because
no,
they would have never made the welfare system for us. They made it for them. So don't even think if they found out that there were more Blacks on or more Black people on welfare than white people, they would have dismantled the system. They would have dismantled it.
They would have shut it down in a heartbeat.
Right.
They would have shut it down. Because who is it really benefiting? See, that's the whole thing. You gotta look at the benefit aspect of it. If it's not benefiting them, then it doesn't benefit anybody.
I also think it's easier to blame others for our failures than it is to look at ourselves and see how
to look at ourselves and see what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, we are. We're definitely going in there and saying, well, you know what? We can't get this because this person didn't give it to us. But it's like they weren't handed that either. You know, we have to learn how to get ourselves together and not wait for them to give it to us, go and earn it or go and get it. And I don't think we have that mentality yet. And like you said, it's a division. It's based on, even though we may look the same on the outside, there's a lot of different cultures, there's a lot of different religions, there's a lot of things that divide us amongst people of color that we got to work through first.
Well, check this out. Now, some of our so-called civil rights leaders were screaming reparations for years.
Yeah.
Reparations. So, you know, Black people, you know, you have some people out there that are still waiting. Well, I was just doing this.
Oh, well, you know
wait,
what it was, too? You want to hear something, brother?
They
waited
for their check.
I'm glad you mentioned it because you know what some people are saying? You know what some people are saying? They were saying that even during when President Obama was in office, yo, President Obama ain't look out for black people because he didn't give us our reparations. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, okay.
They were still waiting for that check.
You keep waiting for that. Yeah, the check is in the mail. Checking the box. Keep checking that box. Listen, that and I think that was another issue. You have a lot of these so-called civil rights leaders screaming out reparations, and people was just like, well, yeah, you owe us. You owe us for what we've done in this country. Listen, get past that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't getting nothing.
Because if you really, I'm gonna say it. If you really want to talk shit, we as a people shouldn't have been. We shouldn't be joining anybody's war to help them fight, and we still fighting. We still fighting just
mm-hmm.
to be alive, just to walk the streets. We should sacrificing ourselves or putting ourselves out there for anybody else's cause. You looking for something? Listen, forget about that. Get up off your ass
mm-hmm.
and get it. Simple and plain. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Yep.
Gentrification is not going to stop. Like, it's here, and it is what it is. The best thing that we can do is jump on the train and ride the wave. Either you get in or you step off.
All right.
Be a part of the change. You know what I'm saying? So get your money
mm-hmm.
up. We need as many times. I love when you got these people that do these little seminars. They get paid thousands of dollars just to sit there and tell
yes,
people,
they do.
Oh, you need to invest. You need to invest. You need to invest. And all they did was to stand there for an hour to tell you what you can go read in the book.
Mm-hmm.
They just made thousands of dollars. Because you just felt the need to spend your $59.99 or your $20 to go hear them talk. And
yep.
what action are you going to put behind it? Now, don't get me wrong, some of them be a lot of some good information, but it's only just words if you're not putting anything.
Right, and they're making a profit off of that. It's like you said, if you just sit down and read a book and do some research, you can all that person is telling you, you can learn that on your own, or you could have learned that on your own. But we're always looking for somebody to be that quote-unquote messiah. Oh, like, oh, my God, that's the person that I need to listen to. So you know what? They're telling me the right thing.
Please,
huh?
You know what it is? These same guys that are holding these seminars, guess what? You know they're asking for money, right? They sit there taking people's money, and you know what? They make these DVDs, they put it out there, and people go crazy for them.
You know what? I'm going to say something too, and you know somebody may be like, "Oh, Lord's going to curse him." I don't think so. As much money as the church get, what does the church do for the community?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I say. Listen. I hate to say this, but you know, that's how these cult leaders be getting away with what they get away with. They get these people wrapped in. I'm serious. They get these people wrapped up in.
You know, like I said, my whole attitude is, once again, you can't, like you said, it's about accountability. And you can't sit there and blame gentrification on anyone else but yourself, but ourselves, because we allowed it to happen. I remember in the beginning when they wanted to do the Barclays, and there were people that were fighting it. Because they was like, you're
mm-hmm.
going to destroy our homes. You're going to
destroy
our homes.
They was kicking them people out their homes. They was destroying their
mm-hmm.
homes.
Exactly.
And that's
but
when I see, exactly. That's when I seen that starting to happen. Because I'm like, y'all kicking these people out your home just to build a stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what's the term that they use in some cases? It's called eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's basically where, you know, for the sake of the neighborhood or for the sake of social progress or whatever,
community.
We have
mm-hmm.
to one block so we can do this just to make this happen. We'll give you a couple of bucks and you just go away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
these are the laws and things that they pass that we don't pay attention to because we're too busy paying attention to Kanye West and Trump. We don't really and we don't really look at what's going on. We don't take a look. Just like when it comes down to certain laws that they put on the books in terms of criminal activity, we don't take the time to see. Somebody would think, oh, well, I did this yesterday. Well, if you look on this legal book, now you can't do that no more because now you'll get you put in jail for it. We don't do the reading. We don't get a grasp of the language, and that's the problem. So once again, when you want to get mad at gentrification, don't get mad at anybody else for doing what they would normally do, and that's just do business. Because they know black people go in their neighborhood or they're going to spend the money. They're going to buy the heroes. They're going to buy the coffee. They're going to buy the clothes. They're going to buy all that. But I bet you as soon as we stop, as soon as we start redirecting our money someplace else, then it becomes a problem. Because they know that black people spend a shitload of money per year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They definitely know that.
But we don't spend the money with us. We don't spend the money with black people. And this is why you have some people, oh, you know, you got to go black owned. Yeah, listen, not every black owned service is going to be up to par because why? We don't invest in it. They may not have the best stuff, but you know what? If we keep putting money into them, maybe in 6 months or next year they'll have better stuff. Because we have to believe in the businesses in our neighborhood. We have to believe in those barbershops. We have to believe in those nail salons. We have to believe and support those people who are catering to us.
Right.
And I think we also have to demand that when they move into the community, we support them, they turn around and support us back, which is not
exactly
what is happening. Sometimes it's, you know, they move in, you're supporting a black business, and they're taking their money and they're going elsewhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even in hiring.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you'll see, listen, as much as people want to talk about or don't want to talk about discrimination, so you're trying to tell me that the nail salons are, like, all Asian? Like, do you see them hiring any black girls, black women,
yep.
or
nope.
black men?
Nope.
Nope.
They keep it amongst themselves.
Right. That's just like the Dunkin' Donuts, the same thing. You only see a lot of the Indian people that work there, and they, you know, usually they hire, like, their own family members, and the sister and the
yeah.
uncle and the aunt and grandfather and all the mother. Yeah, that, so with that as well.
Yes.
Chinese restaurant, same thing.
And I know when I go in my neighborhood, one of the first things I do when businesses open up is I look and see who they hire. And I'm not saying they have to hire black people, but I want
right.
to see them hiring people from the community.
Right.
If I don't recognize anybody working in there, why am I giving you my money? You know,
exactly.
if I can walk in and I can see my neighbor's son or grandchild or something like that working there, I'm going to stop in, talk to them, see what they're doing for the community and stuff like that, and then I'll invest my money. But if the money's going out, well, why am I spending all my money there?
True.
Exactly.
True.
Exactly. It's
very
like
true.
You said, it's a bigger picture. But the whole thing is, while they taking pictures, some of us are still writing with crayon, and that's a problem. But thank you, Miss Cherry. K Doll, Big Red as always.
Yep.
Yep.
Mr. Piazzi, mm-hmm. and our last caller that called in just wanted to listen. You know, thank you everybody for listening and participating. And you know, once again, accountability. That's what it all boils down to. If we don't take ownership, if we don't respect ourselves, then how do you expect and it doesn't even just have to be color. If you don't respect yourself, if you don't take stock in yourself, how do you expect someone else to?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And on that note, everybody have mm-hmm. a good night. Another episode.
All right.
In the hope everyone have a great and blessed week. Stay safe.
You too,
and,
brother.
You too.
That's right, brother.
Yeah. And everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Good night, y'all. Good night.
Later.
Later.